Pidana Balaba Krivanadari. Gopidana Balaba Krivanadari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Dhanarandana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Dhanarandana. Yamuna Tiha Vanachari. Yamuna Tiha Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kundabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kundabihari. Gopidana Balaba Krivanadari. Gopidana Balaba Krivanadari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Dhanarandana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Dhanarandana. Yamuna Tiha Vanachari. Yamuna Tiha Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahang Suprabhadakacharya Asadhara Sadushi Sriman His Divine Grace Lacey Bhaktivedanta Swami Raj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premanande Harivo. All glories to the Usama devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Garanga. Om Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthai Bhute Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatyade Siddharane. Om Agyana Tivarandasya Garanjana Salakaya Chaksuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigarum Vaishnavam Scha Shirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Svitam Scha. Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishubhanu Sudha Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhuvyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 12, The Birth of Emperor Parikshit, text number 23. Pitamaha samak samyae prasade giri sho pamaha ashrayak sarva bhutanam Yatha Devo Ramashraya Pitamaha Samak Samye Prasade Giri Sopama Ashrayak Sarva Bhutanam Yatha Devo Ramashraya Samaksam ye Prasade giri sopamaha Ashraya sarabhutanam Tadeva ramashraya Samaksam ye Ladies, Avadakshamye Prasade Girishopamaha Ashraya Sarabhutana Pita Deva Ramashraya Samasanye Ashraya Sarabhutana Ashraya Sarabhutana Pita Deva Ramashraya Pitaham Pitamaha The Grandfather or Brahma Samyaha Equally good. Samye in the matter. Prasade in charity or in munificence. Girisha Lord Shiva. Upama comparison of equilibrium. Ashrayaha resort. Sarva all. Bhutanam of the living beings. Yata as Deva, the Supreme Lord. Rama Ashrayaha, the personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This child, we like his grandfather, Yudhisthira, or Brahma in equanimity of mind. He will be munificent like the Lord of the Kailash Hill, Shiva, and he will be the resort of everyone, like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, who is even the shelter of the Goddess of Fortune. Purport. Mental equanimity refers both to Maharaj Yudhisthira and to Brahma, the grandfather of all living beings. According to Sridhar Swami, the grandfather referred to, is Brahma. But according to Vishwanath Chakravarti, the grandfather is Maharaj Yudhisthira himself. But in both cases, the comparison is equally good because both of them are recognized representatives of the Supreme Lord. And thus, both of them have to maintain mental equanimity, being engaged in welfare work for the living being. Any responsible executive agent at the top of administration has to tolerate different types of onslaughts from the very persons for whom he works. Brahma was criticized even by the gopis for the highest professional devotees of the Lord. The gopis were dissatisfied with the work of Brahmaji because Lord Brahma, as creator of this particular universe, created eyelids which obstructed their seeing Lord Krishna. But they could not tolerate a moment's blinking of the eyes, for it kept them from seeing their beloved Lord Krishna. So what to speak of others who are naturally very critical of every action of a responsible man? Similarly, Lord Maharaj Yudhisthira had to cross over many difficult situations created by his enemies, and he proved to be the most perfect maintainer of mental equanimity in all critical circumstances. Therefore, the example of both grandfathers for maintaining equanimity of mind is quite fitting. Lord Shiva is a celebrated demigod who awards gifts to beggars. His name is therefore Ashutosha, or one who is pleased very easily. He is also called Bhutanath, or the Lord of the common folk. We're mainly attached to him because of his munificent gifts, even without consideration of the after effects. Ravana was very attached to Lord Shiva, and by easily pleasing him, Ravana became so powerful that he wanted to challenge the authority of Lord Rama. Of course, Ravana was never helped by Lord Shiva when he fought with Rama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Lord of Lord Shiva. To Vrikasura, Lord Shiva awarded a benediction which was not only awkward, but also disturbing. Vrikasura became empowered by the grace of Lord Shiva to banish anyone's head simply by touching it. Although this was awarded by Lord Shiva, the cunning fellow wanted to make an experiment of the power by touching the head of Lord Shiva. Thus the Lord had to take shelter of Vishnu to save him from trouble. And the Lord Vishnu, by his illusory potency, asked Vrikasura to make an experiment with his own head. The fellow did it and was finished himself, and so the world was saved from all sorts of trouble by such a cunning beggar of the demigods. The excellent point is that Lord Shiva never denies anyone any sort of gift. He is therefore the most generous, although sometimes some kind of mistake is made. So if you want to destroy a lot of books, just ask Lord Shiva and he'll make all the arrangements. Rama means the goddess of fortune, and her shelter is Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is the maintainer of all living beings. There are innumerable living beings, not only in the surface of this planet, but also in other hundreds of thousands of planets. All of them are provided with all the necessities of life for the progressive march toward the end of self-realization. But on the path of sense gratification, they are put into difficulty by the agency of Maya, the illusory energy, and so travel the path of a false plan of economic development. Such economic development is never successful because it is illusory. These men are always after the mercy of the illusory goddess of fortune, but they do not know that the goddess of fortune can live only under the protection of Vishnu. Without Vishnu, the goddess of fortune is an illusion. We should therefore seek the protection of Vishnu instead of directly seeking the protection of the goddess of fortune. Only Vishnu and the devotees of Vishnu can give protection to all. And therefore Maharaj Parikshit was himself protected by Vishnu. It was quite possible for him to give complete protection to all who want to live under his rule. So the text again. Pitamaha samaksamye prasade girisopama ashraya sarabhutanam itadeva ramashrayaha. This child would be like his grandfather Yudhisthira, or Brahman, equanimity of mind. He will be munificent like the Lord of Kailas Hill, Shiva, and he will be the resort of everyone like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, who is even the shelter of the Goddess of Fortune. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shinivadi Paskyadya De Satarane. In this particular section, they're going over the qualities of Maharaj Parikshit that he'll display in the future. Therefore, it's not sufficient just to be a good manager. One also has to have the proper qualities to be effective. And effective means that there's a purpose behind the universe. As Krishna says, Saha Jagna Prajashisva Puro Prokta Prajapati Anena Prasavishadvam Esha Yosh Vishta Karmaduk. Then in the beginning, the Lord of all the creatures, Vishnu, or Brahma, actually, he sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrificers for Vishnu and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by this sacrifice because he'll bestow upon you all everything you need. In other words, the purpose of the universe is yagya vai Vishnu, to sacrifice for Vishnu. And part of that sacrifice is that one has to develop the qualities necessary that Vishnu is pleased. Now, Vishnu himself has said in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has said, patram pujpam palam toyam Yome Bhakta Priyashati Taraham Bhakti Uparitam Ashnami Priyatatmanaha. What pleases him is bhakti, or love. Of course, love also implies, as Sri Rupa Goswami has told us, we have to do the right thing in the right way. It's not sufficient just to do the right thing. We also have to do it in the right way. We not only want to become efficient, we also want to become effective. And effective means we want to come to the platform of love for Krishna. Or as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, that one should organize his life in such a way is that throughout the 24 hours of day, one cannot help but think about Krishna. Unless the head of the society, or guru nasya syat, pita nasya syat, svajano nasya syat, svajano nasya syat. One should not become a father, a mother, a worshipful person or a demigod. One should not become guru or a husband unless one is prepared to deliver the dependents from the cycle of birth and death. Therefore, although the sages or Yudhisthira Maharaj will hear about what Pariksha Maharaj will do, he's also concerned that he's actually going to do it effectively, not just efficiently. And that means he has to be a devotee of Krishna. And a devotee of Krishna means that they have to acquire at least the first 50 qualities that Krishna has to some degree. Actually, according to the Nectar of Devotion, there are 55 qualities that a pure devotee acquires. An ordinary living entity has, ordinary human being has 50 of the 70, 64 qualities that Krishna has, at least partially. to different degrees. But a Mahabhagavat has an extra five, such as an eternal body, etc. Therefore, our movement is, for instance, where we should take note that our movement is not simply to do things efficiently. It's meant to do things effectively. That is to bring people to the highest platform of Krishna consciousness. Of course, in order to do that, for instance, here it mentions equanimity of mind. We know manda sumanda bhatiyo manda bhaga upadrutaha. Then this age, everyone is disturbed, including ourselves. Just a question of how tolerant we are. Unless one takes shelter of Krishna, there is no question of absolute tolerance or perfect tolerance. As we find in the story of, after comes the story of Rikasura, we have the story of Bhrigu Muni in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhrigu Muni was with the sages and they were trying to figure out who is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The way they were going to do it was not by a questionnaire or a survey, a vote. Krishna was not going to be voted into prominence. No, they were going to do it by testing, actually going out and testing who is tolerant. And in order to do that, you have to be a little qualified. I don't think we can duplicate that test. So they'd say it wasn't very scientific because we can't duplicate it. Unless you have mystic power, and then you can come back and tell us. You've duplicated it, if you're still alive, of course. After you meet Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, they may not be so forgiving as they were with Bhrigu Muni. In any case, he didn't greet his father when he went to visit him. Lord Brahma became angry, was going to curse Bhrigu Muni, but he tolerated it because Bhrigu Muni is his son. And Lord Brahma's anger, which is just like fire, was able to be cooled down by his great intelligence, which is just like water. In any case, Bhrigu crossed him off the list, Brahma, his father, and went to visit his brother, Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva came to embrace him. Oh, Bhrigu, long time no see. And Bhrigu Muni said, get away from you, you dirty, no good for nothing, you know. Get a life. You're covered with ashes from a crematorium. You got snakes all around you. Take a bath before you touch me. So Lord Shiva was quite offended. I guess Lord Shiva is generally not insulted in that same way, especially by his brother. So he became angry and thought, well, let me pay him back, and who's going to kill him? And he picked up his trident to more or less kill Bhrigu Muni, but his wife Parvati, Lord Shiva's wife, begged Lord Shiva to forgive Bhrigu Muni, and Bhrigu Muni didn't wait around to find out what Shiva's opinion was. He took off immediately. And he went to visit Lord Vishnu in Swetadvipa, in the, I guess, the ocean of milk in this universe, and he just more or less barged through the door, went up to Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, who was sitting on his lying on a couch, being massaged by Lakshmi Dev, went up to Lord Vishnu and kicked him in the chest. So ordinarily, if someone barges through your door while your wife is massaging your feet, kicks you in the chest, it's not very well appreciated by most people. Matter of fact, in America, he would have been shot on the way in. In any case, Lord Vishnu, being who he is, got down from his bed and put Bhrigu Muni on the bed and began to massage his feet, saying, my dear Bhrigu Muni, I'm sorry I committed a great offense. You had entered into the house. I did not greet you properly. Please forgive me. I know that your feet are as soft as lotus flowers, but somehow or another they kicked this heart, lightning bolt chest of mine. I hope it wasn't bruised, so let me massage them, and I hope I can make up for it. My dear Brigham Muni, you're a great Brahmin. Please stay here and my Vaikuntha planet and purify it. So Brigham Muni was quite shocked that with Lord Brahma he had committed the offense of not paying him respect. So that's an offense within the mind. With Lord Shiva, he made an offense by insulting him with his words. But here, Lord Vishnu, he had committed the greatest offense, physically assaulting him, and yet Lord Vishnu was so magnanimous, instead of being offended, he was concerned about Brigham Muni's welfare. So the conclusion was that Lord Vishnu is the most tolerant, and therefore he must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that if one takes shelter of him, they can also become tolerant. But if one takes shelter of Brahma or Lord Shiva, or what to speak of the other demigods, then one's position of tolerance in the material world will be questionable. So we have to develop qualities. If we put the iron into the fire, then the iron becomes hotter and hotter and hotter, and then it takes on all the qualities that the fire has. So by absorbing ourselves in Krishna's name, his forms, his qualities, his associates, and ultimately seeing everyone and everything in relationship to him and falling in love with Krishna, and therefore simultaneously falling in love with everyone and everything that happens to one. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvagva bhuvirvi dadanmanaste jiveta mukti sadeh to diabak days of diabak. That tate nukampam, that if we get Krishna's mercy, then su means nice, broad. Actually, su means very broad. Iksha means to see. Then we can actually see things with our mind. Susamikshamano, we can see things properly with our mind, experience things properly. If we see things properly and act properly, we can experience things properly and fully in Krishna consciousness. Then one can actually be tolerant, because one will be absorbed in an ocean of happiness and nothing will disturb one. Unless one is absorbed in that ocean of happiness, then one will be disturbed even by sometimes relatively inconsequential activities. As we can see, as people go further away from Krishna consciousness, they become less and less tolerant. Even some years ago, the lack of tolerance was demonstrated when one Texan stopped at a red light and the right light turned green and he didn't immediately go. So the car in back of him honked their horn, telling him he should go. But he was so intolerant, the car in front, he took out a rifle and killed the person who was honking his horn. So that's quite intolerant. You have to be careful who you honk your horn at. So this is the age of Kali. Even something inconsequential, insignificant, suddenly becomes a great cause of concern and quarrel. That even on the pretext of things that don't even happen, haven't even happened, they go to huge wars take place. Around 15, 20 years ago, there was a football match between two Central American countries. And because one country lost, there was a riot between the two sides who were participating as spectators in the match. And the conflict escalated so that both countries went to war over a football match. Something to die for. Without Krishna consciousness, or in other words, as one sinks down from the modes of goodness to the modes of ignorance, to passion, to ignorance, then tolerance becomes proportionally less. And as one rises up to goodness and above goodness, to pure goodness, then one becomes tolerant. Śrīla Prabhupāda was the emblem of tolerance. that if he did show anger, it was appropriately utilized for the advancement of the person, the spiritual advancement of the person that he is manifesting anger towards. Other than that, for his own personal convenience, Prabhupada showed great tolerance. As Jadarani Mataji once said, that she was painting, Srila Prabhupada walked into the room, and there was a thumbtack on the floor, and Prabhupada stepped on the thumbtack. He just picked up his foot, looked at the thumbtack, and took it out, and didn't say anything. Just went on. So generally, one would say ouch, or complain, or something, but because Prabhupada was situated transcendentally, therefore, that was just a small manifestation of his tolerance. What to speak when he was leaving this world, he was literally only skin and bones. And that means that the nerves were hitting against the skin and the bones, which, according to one doctor, was excruciating pain. And yet Prabhupada was undisturbed by such immense pain because he was focused on Krishna. As Krishna is undisturbed, so a devotee who takes shelter of Krishna becomes undisturbed. So that's what we're trying to develop by the process of hearing about Krishna, and then by the process of practicing what we're hearing, then we should come to the platform of remembering Krishna. And the more we remember Krishna, and the deeper we remember Krishna, then the more we become able to tolerate sukha-dukhe same kridva. That's all right. Dukhe-shuva-managmanak, sukhe-shu-vigata-spriha, vita-raga-bhaya-krodha, stita-dhira-muni-uchite. One who is not disturbed by the threefold miseries, nor elated when there is happiness, and is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is known as the sage of steady intelligence. So in other words, if we hear about Krishna, we practice pure devotional service and constantly remember Krishna, then we'll become more and more unaffected by the modes of material nature. And in spite of any circumstance, we'll be able to continuously think about Krishna in pure Krishna consciousness and experience the nectar of actually what it's like to become conscious of Krishna. Or as Prahlad Maharaj, when he was offered benediction, because everyone wants benedictions in this material world, but when he was offered any benediction by God himself, by Lord Nrisimhadev, he said, there's no need for me to accept any benediction. Naiva dvija para dratya vaitaranyas dvavirayana gayana mahamritak magnichitak socevi mukachetasa indriyartha mayasukam bhairam udvato vimudha. That for an ordinary person, they certainly need something to make them feel good. They certainly have desires to be fulfilled. But I have no desire, because whenever I chant your glories, my consciousness merges into an ocean of happiness, and I become completely happy and satisfied. But I'm simply lamenting because I'm seeing these fools and rascals, they're working hard for temporary sense gratification with no idea of the value of the benefit of love of God. So I'm working to help them. So even one comes to the process, hears about Krishna, learns the science of Krishna consciousness, practices Krishna consciousness fully, without any motivation, without any deviation, comes to the perfect platform of Krishna consciousness by the grace of Krishna and his devotees, still, the one will try to satisfy Krishna even more by going out and trying to help others come to the same platform. That a devotee, when he reaches perfection, he doesn't become selfish. By reaching such a perfection, he takes on the same mood as Krishna himself, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Srimati Radharani, and he manifests his perfection by trying to help others come to the same perfection as himself. So this is demonstrated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's demonstrated in the Leela of Lord Krishna when he entered into Mathura, and after obtaining some clothes in a very dramatic way from a washerman, Then he also receives some from a tailor. He got nice clothes, and then a florist gave him very nice garlands. Krishna, I heard he likes garlands, flowers, more than he even likes jewels. So these were flowers from Dwarka Yuga. So they had some nice smell to them. They really smell like flowers. So Krishna was quite pleased. And he offered any benediction to the florist that he wanted, including Swarupya Mukti and full opulence, whatever else he wanted, whatever he wanted. But he simply asked for the benediction that whatever he can do would be good for himself, for not only himself, but would be good for everyone else too. That he would be able to give everyone the highest benedictions. So the devotee is not selfish. Even when he reaches perfection, he wants to give that same opportunity to others also. And that's the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's the highest platform of equanimity, where one sees everyone in the same mood as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw everyone, in the mood of compassion, service, to help everyone with the highest feelings of love. Then, as Prabhupada demonstrated, even one offended Prabhupada sometimes, because one time there was extreme examples when one devotee came to Prabhupada and asked Prabhupada, you know, because this devotee was in Radhakund hearing about so-called perfections obtained there. So he went to Prabhupada and asked him, can you give me blessings that I can find a genuine spiritual master? So, because Prabhupada was thinking that this person's crazy, it's almost like that person who came to Prabhupada in 26 Second Avenue and asked for $50. Prabhupada said, what do you need? I mean, $50 is like maybe $500 now. He said, what do you need $50 for? He said, I want to buy a gallon of gasoline because I want to burn myself to death. So Prabhupada called over Gargamuni Prabhu, who was the treasurer, and said, Gargamuni, can you give this man $50? He wants to burn himself to death. He wants to buy a gallon of gasoline. So Gargamuni said, Swamiji, we don't have $50. He said, so Prabhupada looked at him and said to the man who asked him for the $50, he said, I'm sorry, we don't have $50. And so the man left a little disappointed. And Prabhupada said, this man, obviously he's crazy. He wants a gallon of gasoline, and only at that time it probably only cost 10 cents. So similarly, this devotee asked for such a benediction. And Prabhupada said, why is he asking me if he doesn't think I'm bona fide? What kind of benediction is I'm going to give him? So Prabhupada's response was, I bless you that you won't get a bona fide spiritual master in so many hundreds of births. Because later on, Prabhupada showed his tolerance and forgiveness. He said, where is this devotee? Tell him, you know, to come back. Because he didn't come back, anyhow. So Prabhupada, in general, was quite tolerant. There's, I think, anyone who reads the Lamrita or any other books will see, just like when Prabhupada created 26 Second Avenue, the devotees there, and told them to take, well, first of all, he was happy to see they liked prasadam. So he cooked for them, he served for them, he served prasadam to them, he cleaned up after them, just so that they developed some Krishna consciousness. And when he taught them to take a shower, 26 Second Avenue, if anyone's been there, I'm sure most of us have, some of us have, you can see there was only one little, well, actually in his apartment, there was one shower. And there was a number of devotees, so Prabhupada patiently would wait in line, while others took showers, Prabhupada would wait his turn. So these are just small examples of his tolerance. Anyhow, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Yeah.
in the purports mentions how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying that this personality, this name refers to either Maharaj Yudhisthira or Brahma, and Sridhar Swami was saying the opposite. So how can we understand this?
Well, because these are qualities that are being manifested. They can be manifested, they can be applicable equally to either one of them. So it says here that Vishwanath, yeah, so could be applicable to others too. According to their commentary that you make, if you made a commentary, you can point it out as applicable to others too. Yes.
The key here was the word grandfather. So Lord Brahma is everybody's grandfather. That's what point Prabhupada made in the purport. So therefore, it immediately applies to Lord Brahma. But in this case, the direct grandfather was Yudhisthira, so it also applied to him. And the quality applies to him, because he had that quality in Yudhisthira. So the quality applied and the word grandfather applied to both of them. So.
Thank you. Yes. Anything else? Yes.
Thank you very much for the wonderful class, Maharaj. What are those two countries entered war because of a football game? I was curious to know.
I can't remember, but they're still there, though. Yes. It's modded you here. I will. Here. There.
Thank you, Maharaj. You were talking about Bhrigu Muni and Lord Shiva was upset with him, and then it brought to mind, I was curious, because in the assembly of Daksha, when Daksha launched into his tirade against Shiva, then Lord Shiva was very tolerant. And I wonder, is it because it was Daksha's position as the father-in-law?
Well, I think, basically speaking, Lord Shiva manifests his pastimes, his activities, according to give us some, according to Krishna's desire. So in this particular instance, when he got insulted by his brother, somehow or another, he took it seriously. But when Daksha was, in this particular instance with Daksha, he was in meditation, so he was not even aware of what was going on. Of course, when he did find out, eventually he had someone cut off Daksha's head anyhow. Because it got a little too much when his wife was committed suicide. But in this particular incident with Lord Shiva, he was in meditation. So he actually wasn't even aware of what Daksha was doing. Or if he was aware, I think the meditation was such that he didn't really care so much. Anything else? Someone else raised their hand there. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande Haribol. So I'd like to thank Savasvaru and the other leaders here to have such an exemplary temple with nice deity worship and so much preaching going on. And so I ask you all your blessings so I can come back here and have your association again. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you. Keep not telling things.